KWMRsun.com. And local programming for KWMR is provided by Point Reyes Farmstead Cheese Company, offering handcrafted artisan cheese, including fresh mozzarella, Bay Blue, Toma, and Point Reyes Original Blue. The farm's culinary and educational center, The Fork, offers farm-to-table culinary experiences and is available for events. More information at 1-800-591-6878 or online at pointreyescheese.com or thefork@pointreyes.com. Again, that wind advisory in effect through 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, Tuesday, January 9th. Please be careful. High winds of 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts from 40 to 50 miles per hour are likely. Local gusts in excess of 50 miles per hour are possible. And be alert to downed trees and downed power lines. Power outages are likely. It's 5:01, time for Epicenter on KWMR Point Reyes Station. Next up, Epicenter on KWMR Point Reyes Station. This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. Epicenter airs Monday through Thursday at 5 o'clock and features a wide array of community affairs for our local watersheds. I'm your host today, Lyons Filmer, and with me in the studio are Carrie Winninger and Janet Calhoun, and I thank you both so much for coming in.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
I want to make sure. Okay. Now, I've got your mic on, Carrie.
Oh, now you can hear me.
Now we can hear you. Carrie Winninger is the Sudden Oak Death Program Coordinator for UC Cooperative Extension in Sonoma County. And Janet Calhoun is a member of the Sonoma Master Gardeners, and she heads up the SMM's SOD team. I love that the acronym turns out to be the word sod. Sod for soil, and also it's a, I think, an English slang word for somebody who's really kind of a jerk, an idiot.
So,
this is a really jerk kind of a disease that our oak trees are suffering from. So, not happy to have it, but my God, what has been being discovered? I am just thrilled and awestruck by the work. Now, the reason I wanted to have you come in is because we reach into Sonoma County on KWMR. We have listeners in Sonoma County. And this sudden oak death disease is a real problem, as we know. And I'm discovering from a lot you've been saying, Janet Calhoun, across the country, or at least in multiple states, but definitely here in the North Bay, in Marin and Sonoma.
So currently we have 16 counties that are affected, and most of them are coastal. And that's because the pathogen itself is a water mold. And because of that, it needs water to be able to sporulate and move, and it's aerial. So we have the most ideal climate, if you're a coastal California, for this pathogen to live and thrive and move in its environment, in our environment. So
you put on workshops back in the spring, I believe. And what are you doing? How are you training? And let's say right away, we're talking citizen scientists here, which is such a great phenomenon.
Right. So a lot of people might have heard of citizen science because the Audubon Society has been doing it for a really long time with their bird counts. So this program now has 9 years of data, and it is called the Sudden Oak Death Blitz, and it's put on through UC Berkeley. And this year, we had a lot more people turn out than last year, but we also had a lot more infection discovered. So those rains that we all were a big fan of last year after the drought actually didn't do so well for this pathogen.
And once you show people what to look for, and Janet, thank you so much for bringing in this great sheet, how to see symptoms of sudden oak death on the California Bay Laurel, one of the principal carriers. Then you send people out into the field.
Right, right. So we gave six different presentations in Sonoma County, and there were 23, I believe, across the whole state. So after these presentations were given, where we give background on the pathogen, we give instructions and teach them how to identify symptoms, how they're going to collect them and bring them back, and get them tested for free, which is really an incredible opportunity if you're a landowner. Otherwise, it costs you upwards of $300 to get each tree tested. So it's not just good citizen science. It can actually help you. After that happens, then it's about October when the results all come out. UC Berkeley takes the summer to compile them all, and then they have a meeting. So we had one meeting up in Sonoma just a couple weeks ago, and there was another meeting further south. And that's where they talk about the results. What happened? What did we discover? And it also covers what has been discovered in the scientific community around sudden oak death that a regular person might want to know. So there's treatment options that we talk about if you want to treat your own oak tree, let's say. There's results from the blitz that are exciting in some way, such as a new host we found this year that's being killed, which we have will be working with CDFA to make sure that's confirmed. It's at
CDFA.
This point, that is the California Department of Food and Agriculture. So they're the ones that if you were to take your own sample outside of the blitz, you would send it to CDFA.
Okay.
But when you do it as the blitz, then you can send it to UC Berkeley.
Okay.
And the, one of those exciting, for a pathologist, discoveries is that there's now seven manzanitas that are considered endangered and rare that are looking to be hit by this pathogen.
Ah, is that why my manzanitas are looking bad now?
To add to that, what Dr. Mateo Garbalato told us was that they tested the manzanitas in February and they didn't test positive for the pathogen. And then they saw them rapidly declining and dying by May. So these particular manzanitas, which are rare and unique to California, are at risk. And so for us, it's just red flags. And we hope that there's something we can do beside, I don't know what we're going to do, but we've never seen that before. We knew manzanita was a foliar host. Many manzanitas can get the disease but not die from it. And with these particular rare and rather endangered species, we're seeing that actually it's fatal to them.
Well, let me back up a bit and ask some kindergarten-level questions. When you do the sod blitz, sudden oak death blitz, you are looking at the foliar carriers, not at the oak trees.
Correct.
Please explain why.
Well, so when you're doing the blitz, we teach people how to look for symptoms on leaves and twigs of both tan oak trees and on bay laurel. And the reason we do that is, one, it is easier for people to identify. Two, you can't sample an oak tree without being destructive. So you need to dig into the bark, and you also get a lot of false results.
Oh.
So if you're going to be doing this on a citizen science level, you really need to be doing this with something that's more obvious and less risky and actually can help with potential spread. So another point to make is that the oak tree doesn't actually pass it on. Once it becomes infected, that's a dead end for the pathogen.
Uh-huh.
Whereas if you can catch it in the stage where it's in a foliar host, that's where all those disease spores are happening, right? So if you can catch it where that is your infected material, then maybe you can do something to stop your oak tree getting infected.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now that we know some manzanitas are not only carriers, they're being killed by it.
That's correct.
And any other plants that are being discovered as carriers and or...
Well, yeah, the history on that is very early on. Actually, when I started in 2008, there was an idea that if we identified foliar hosts, we could eliminate them and probably get a handle on it. Everything they test, especially California natives, are all hosts. this pathogen landed in the best place possible for it. So we stopped even looking after about 200 plants when they tested. So most of our California natives and many things that we normally would see in an urban garden can be carriers. The difference is the spore load count. And on California Bay Laurel, the reason we say it's the driver of this disease is because it carries 70,000 spores per square centimeter of leaf surface.
Good heavens.
Now, so it's the driver. It's where that pathogen wants to be and where it can release millions and millions of spores under the right conditions into the environment. Whereas another plant you may have in your garden may have a very, very low spore load and not be able to project the pathogen the way these hosts can, the other hosts can.
Mm-hmm. And if I've identified in my own backyard, let's say, a bay tree that is showing symptoms of sudden oak death, what's my next step?
There are recommendations, very clear guidelines, on the website from UC Berkeley, and that would be sodblitz.org. And there's many links on that website for homeowners, for managers, for arborists. And some of those are exactly that. There's even a question forum called Tree Health Answers and Questions. And it's a place where people can write in and say specific concerns or questions. And they post everything publicly without your name so that you can get information from what other people have wanted to know. So, for example, one of the main treatments they recommend is creating a barrier around any very valuable oak trees that you have on your property and making that barrier bay tree free. It depends on how big your trees are. It depends on if you're on a slope, because we think about this being a water mold, so water's going to run downhill. So there's the specific recommendations you can find on that website.
All right. Sodblitz.org, SODBLITZ.org. And also, this is, I assume, the other one you were referring to, Carrie Winninger, treefacts.org. So tree, TREEFAQS.org. Let's give a shout out to Dr. Matteo Garboletto. It's his lab at UC Berkeley that's the center of this work, correct?
That's right.
Talk about, Janet, you were telling me a little earlier, how he has created this whole citizen scientist blitzing network of folks with bringing in all kinds of information.
He did. And originally, when you have graduate students, how many trees can you do? How many people can do? So it was his idea to do a citizen scientist where we literally this last year had over 300 people collecting samples, more than that participating because households would count as one. And his research is it's been phenomenal. It's been recognized internationally from the work that has been gathered by citizens. He's been able to create a mathematical algorithm that tells you where the pathogen may be going, a model, so to speak, of what can happen with this pathogen. He also has come up with SodMap Mobile, which is phenomenal. It's a free app. You can add to your phone, and it tells you at any place what your risk is for the disease. And it's a phenomenal thing. If you're at a low risk, then we would tell you what you need to do to prepare. You've got a lot of time to make a management plan if, in fact, the pathogen is coming toward you. If you're at medium risk, which is they've tested positive within 200 yards of your property, well, now you have an opportunity to step up your game. So it would be to keep the pathogen from coming to you, and there are a lot of ways to do that. And number one is if you buy nursery stock, that's how we got it into California, was through nursery stock.
Oh.
So what we would tell you to do is go ahead and buy what you want, but quarantine it. Don't put it in the ground. Leave it 2 months minimum on a tarp where you can watch and see if you have any signs of disease or any signs of the plant not looking right. Toss it if you do. after 2 months, if it's looking good, go ahead and put it in the ground. And that's really hard for a gardener to do because as soon as I buy something, I want it right in the ground. So that's one of the things you can do. It also gives you opportunities to start thinking about the only preventative that we know of for this disease on oak, and that, Carrie, maybe you can.
It sounds like a just
that.
Say no.
Yeah,
kind
just
of
say
situation.
No. Yeah, it's. But there are things that you can do. We would love to talk to anyone. You can call Master Gardeners or go to the website and look at Mateo's website. SudOakDeath.org also is a fantastic website for our customers.
That's the California Oak Mortality Task Force.
That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Master Gardeners. Sonoma, go to Sonoma Master Gardeners if you're in Sonoma County. If you're here in Marin County, go to Marin Master Gardeners.
Yes, you certainly can.
Okay. And you said, Janet, you know, if you find you're in a low risk or a medium risk, whatever area, we can give you information. Is it Master Gardeners giving information, or is this through Mateo's website or the suddenoakdeath.org?
Master Gardeners kind of pride ourselves in working with the University of California, and we give our clients up-to-date scientific information about what the best method is to help a landowner,
Great.
To help our people. And it's, as I said, it's constantly updating because this is a very new science for us. This disease wasn't even identified until 2000. So for our program, we literally, I just gave Carrie the new update for 2017. It changes. I'm updating what we present at least twice a year to make sure that you're getting the most up-to-date information that we have.
All right.
There is some information available online. For example, the presentation that Dr. Garbolato gave just a couple weeks ago, he has that PowerPoint up. So if you'd like
on
to go through the slides, that's at sodblitz.org, and that includes pictures of your phone that says high risk, low risk, and what can I do if it gives me this indication. So there is information there also. But maybe we should give the phone number for the Sonoma County Master Gardener Desk.
Great.
So that would be 707-565-2608. And that desk is staffed Monday through Friday, 9 to 12 and 1 to 4. And you might get somebody like Janet who's there every week.
And a lot of times if a call comes in, it will automatically be referred to either me or Carrie. Mm-hmm. And I take calls from home. So it's, I mean, it's a passion for us. It's something that we've devoted, well, for me, almost 10 years, and Carrie is.
I started in 2012, so a little less.
But all of us that are involved in it are very passionate about it, and it's not a problem for us at all to return any call that comes in.
I have neglected to re-identify you two and myself and the station. I'm Lyons Filmer. It's KWMR's Epicenter. And I'm speaking with Carrie Winiger, who's the Sudden Oak Death Program Coordinator for UC Cooperative Extension, Sonoma County, and Janet Calhoun, who is with Sonoma Master Gardeners. She heads up the SMM's sod team, and you just heard her offer every piece of possible support that is available to give. Sudden oak death, it is just horrifying. Excuse me. I'm overwhelmed by how dreadful this thing is. As you said, the disease was only identified in 2000, but it had been seen, noticed somehow for, a couple decades before that?
Not quite. We think now that it was probably introduced multiple times into California from probably the late 80s. We didn't see it jump from nursery stock to, it is a forest disease, so into our woodlands until about 1995.
Okay.
And that's where we didn't know what it was. Nobody knew what it was. We just saw the canopies of our oaks turn to crappy green and then brown, and the trees suddenly appeared to be dead. And Unfortunately, there were some, you know, what we saw was also these secondaries, a lot of beetles coming in.
Right.
And then the beetles were blamed for killing the trees. That was the first. And
I remember that.
That was, most unfortunate because they were doing what they have always done for centuries. They're part of California. They evolved here. That's their job.
Right.
And it wasn't until 5 years later that we really understood what was happening. And by that time, you know, the pathogen really was in our environment, part of our environment.
Now, how did it come to us? Through nursery stock.
Through nursery stock.
How does that come about?
We believe it came in on rhododendrons and camellias and azaleas.
Oh.
And rhodies are the most traded landscape plant in the world.
You even have a nickname for them.
Rhodies. and actually, about the same time we were seeing it in California, Dr. Rizzo's lab in Davis, they were seeing it in the UK as well.
Ah.
Two different strains of the same pathogen. And when Rizzo's lab identified it, that's when UK realized we've got the same thing. And it's has the potential, just from looking at maps that the epidemiologists have done for us through the United States, if it gets loose in other states, it could be disastrous in our other forest areas.
And there was actually, in 2004, it got a lot of attention because there was a nursery that shipped to 21 different states infected material. So that's that helped get quarantine procedures underway. And in the UK, we should say it's a very different disease. It actually is affecting larch, big plantations of it, larch trees.
Oh.
And there it is a different strain. Here, it only reproduces clonally. So it's a different beast.
Interesting. Interesting. And do we know the original source of this water mold?
Well, we have been thinking it was Asia for quite some time, but in a general sense. And recently, people have discovered a certain area that has not been published yet, but has very similar plants to what we have here. And the disease doesn't affect them as severely because they've existed with this pathogen for a long time. But there are very similar hosts. So we think we might have an idea now, but it is being looked into to confirm.
So like a number of, quote, invasive things, this pathogen is an exotic for us here in California.
Yes.
Our plants have not been living in concert with it for
centuries. So our plants don't recognize it as a threat. They don't recognize it, and they didn't evolve with it. So anytime you introduce an exotic, whether it's a pathogen, a plant that shouldn't be here, or an insect, which California is now the recipient of a lot of exotic insects, they can wreak havoc on what we have.
Yeah. Now, Janet Calhoun and Carrie Wininger, we have less than 2 minutes.
Wow. Well, I would love to,
what do you want to get
to
across?
Give my email, because that's another way people get a hold of me besides that phone number. So my email at UCCE Sonoma is K Wininger, which I will spell for you. So it is KWININGER at UCANR.edu. And we do get a lot of questions that way, and Janet or I will get back to you.
All right. And let me say again, these sources that you've brought in for us, Janet Calhoun, California Oak Mortality Task Force is suddenoakdeath.org. Mateo Garbalato's site, sodblitz.org, and treefacts, FAQS.org.
And if I can say one more thing.
Please.
I just want to say how incredible these master gardeners are. As Janet said, they really pride themselves on being up to date. These guys are scientists in their own right. So please, take them at their offer. And then I do want to put a little plug out. We have the Sudden Oak Death Blitz every year. So please keep an ear out for when our next blitz will be. It is always in May or the beginning of June, and it will be up on our website. It'll be posted there by the beginning of May. And there are some in Marin as well. So whatever is convenient for you.
And your website would be ucanr.edu?
That is one way to get to us, and you would want to look for your county through that site.
Yes. Okay. And folks, you know, I hope, how to get hold of Marin Master Gardeners as well. It is a fabulous organization. Janet Calhoun, Marin Sonoma, excuse me, Master Gardener. Carrie Winninger of
UC, Cooperative Extension, Sonoma County.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate the work that you're both doing. You, dear listener, please stay tuned. I'm Lyons Filmer. That's the end of Epicenter for today. Thank you so much for joining us here. Epicenter airs on KWMR every Monday through Thursday at 5 o'clock. And if you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please send your ideas to us. Email Katie at kwmr.org. You can also stream the audio archives of Epicenter from our website, kwmr.org. Coming up at 5:30 on KWMR is As It Happens from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. In the meantime,
this is Bird Note. Imagine you're camping in the mountains, surrounded by pines, larch, and spruce. The very first bird you might see is a gray jay as it boldly swoops down into your camp. This handsome jay has a smoky gray back and wings, silvery gray underparts, a tiny black beak, and big black eyes that seem to miss nothing, especially food. But the one food gray jays don't eat is conifer seeds. So why do they live in conifer forests? It turns out the jays hide food in conifer needles and tuck it under the bark of trees with their sticky saliva. Like other jays that cache food, gray jays have terrific visual memories. They can find thousands of hidden tidbits months later. Gray jays are so good at storing up food, they even start nesting before the winter ends. The jays can feed their nestlings entirely from the food they've stored away. And unlike most other birds that nest in spring and summer, gray jays spend that time caching food for the next winter. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Today's show brought to you by the Bobolink Foundation.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. In Stratford, Connecticut, where the Housatonic River feeds Long Island Sound, coastal marshland once helped absorb floodwater and protect the coastline. But over time, the marsh was destroyed and the shoreline severely eroded. A few years ago, Jennifer Matei of Sacred Heart University thought of a way to tackle the problem.
Reef balls are sort of hollow concrete structures. They look like a giant gumdrop with holes in them.
They were originally invented to help rebuild coral reefs. But Matei had a hunch that they could slow erosion by reducing the impact of waves. As a test, rows of the heavy domes, each about 3 feet wide, were installed just offshore. They're fully visible at low tide and partly submerged at high tide.
It was enough to slow the water so that sediments were deposited rather than being washed away.
The area protected by the reef balls became a place where marsh grasses could grow again. Now, the experiment has expanded, and reef balls span 1,000 feet of beach. Matei hopes they'll help protect the shoreline from heavy waves and storms. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
You're listening to West Marin Community Radio, KWMR. 90.5 Point Reyes Station, 89.9 Bolinas, 92.3 San Geronimo Valley. We stream live and archive from kwmr.org. And in West Marin, you can also hear us on Horizon Cable, Channel 47. Just a minute shy of As It Happens from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. I want to remind folks there is a wind advisory in effect. It started at noon today, Monday the 8th, and it goes through 6 a.m. tomorrow, Tuesday the 9th. Wind advisory in effect through 6 a.m. tomorrow, Tuesday morning. A storm system developing over the eastern Pacific is forecast to bring heavy rain and strong gusty winds to the Bay Area today and tonight, and those strongest winds are expected through late tonight. Wind speeds are forecast to be highest near the coast and in the hills. Those will be south to southwest winds of 20 to 30 miles per hour, with gusts from 40 to 50 miles per hour. Those are likely speeds. Local gusts in excess of 50 miles per hour are possible. Also possible, downed trees and downed power lines,